The other day I got an email, and it was from a rich Nigerian telling me that he was about to die and leave me a fortune. And I just needed to give him my complete address, bank account, and social security number, and I'd get the money as soon as he died. Well, hey, that sounds like a good deal. Was that the truth? Well, I'm sure that it's true that I got an email, and I did. And it might have even been true that it came from Nigeria. And chances are someone in Nigeria was probably dying. But the promise is not true. It is a lie. Over 2,000 years ago, a man was born in a very special way and died a terrible death, like so many had said he would. But he was raised to life again by the power of God and forever changed the course of human history. Is that the truth? Well, yeah. It's the truth. It is true. But there are people who don't believe it's true. But that doesn't change the fact that it is true. The truth is, a lot of people have difficulty with the concept of truth. So who said, what is truth? Was it Jesus Christ? Was it Pontius Pilate? Maybe Morpheus from The Matrix? Or maybe Goliath from Gath? I don't know, I'm making these up as I go along, maybe. Well, I tell you what, why don't you go ahead and navigate your Bibles on over to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And while John doesn't go into great detail, like Matthew did, about the illegal trial of Jesus before Annas and Caiaphas, like we looked at a few weeks ago, we do see a nice summary of the events leading up to our text in John 18, just a little bit before this text, but we're going to start down in verse 28 and read a sizable portion of text down to verse 40. So this is John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. They were told that the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. But now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover, so they'd be unclean if they went in there. It was Gentile season. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. We have no right to execute anyone." The Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one of the prisoners at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. So, who said, what is truth? Yeah, Pilate. Pontius Pilate. He's the one who said, what is truth? That's because to him, truth was relative. Truth was something that he dictated. And so the truth of Jesus didn't apply to him. Now, The odd thing about Pilate's views is that a lot of people today believe the same thing. In the most recent survey that I could find from the Barna Group, truth is increasingly regarded as something felt or relative. 44% view truth that way, rather than something known or absolute, and that's 35%. The others aren't even sure what truth is. I don't know. 21%. Think about that, though. At least then, 44% of our population aren't sure that truth exists. And if truth does exist, nobody knows for sure what the real truth is. Nobody knows what it looks like. It's kind of like the guy who said there are two sides to every question, except that, like flypaper, it makes a difference which side you choose. One side's okay, the other side's sticky, right? And thanks to the current credibility issues with the media, which side someone chooses often determines who they believe is telling the truth. But the truth is, there is absolute truth. Take a look at the article in the back of the sermon notes, okay? And because there is absolute truth, there are consequences to ignoring the truth, just like there are consequences to having a flexible morality. And Pilate was a man who believed in a flexible morality. He believed in a truth that was relative. Pilate was a man who believed in a flexible morality. And I thought, you know, it's like, well, why? Why would someone choose to believe that something is relative? Why would someone have a flexible morality? Why would Pilate or anyone else have a problem with the truth? Well, think about it. Wouldn't it be important to know the truth about the things that we can know the truth about? I mean, shouldn't we seek out the truth? Well, one of the reasons that people don't want to recognize the truth or even acknowledge that there is such a thing as the truth is because they seem to want to prefer shades of gray as opposed to things that are clearly black and white. And that could be because if they accept black and white truths, that there is a right and a wrong, then they would have to recognize that there is that fact. That there is a right and a wrong, and they might not be doing things the right way. And so that in turn means that there would be truths about things like morality that they would need to accept or else be wrong. And the problem with that is that, like Pilate, a lot of people today want to do what they want to do. And so to them, there's no such thing as an absolute right and wrong. There's no such thing as the truth. That way, hey, you know, everyone can just do whatever it is that they want to do without fear of any kind of consequences. Here's what James has to say over in James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Now here in James, he talks about the wisdom that comes from above. That's wisdom from God, from the Holy Spirit and Jesus, you know. And he compares that wisdom that we should have to wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. The wisdom that comes from above does not deny the truth, but it embraces it and is based upon it. And a life that lives by the wisdom of truth is shown by their good life and good deeds and is considerate and peace-loving and full of mercy and partial and sincere, you see. But the wisdom that comes from the devil denies the truth. It's envious and selfish. It creates disorder and evil practices. And so what do people do who reject the truth from above? Well, what they're doing is rejecting, of course, the absolute truth of God. And they do that so that way they can embrace the earthly, unspiritual truth that is opposite of God or of Satan or otherwise, you know, the devil. And they do that because, again, they want to be the ones in charge. And part of that's probably our own fault over the past couple of decades. You know, you can be what you want to be. You can do what you want to do. And that's all great and everything, but within the confines of the truth. Okay? Instead, we want to be in charge and do what we want to do. Therefore, we can reject all other sorts of authority because we want to be the ones in charge. We want the ones that have all authority. We want to be able to decide what is moral and what isn't, and what is right and what is wrong. We want to be able to be the ones who say what truth is and what truth is not. And of course, you know, Pilate was the same way. Pilate believed that he dictated truth. And that's because, you know, he was used to being in charge. He's the king. Good to be the king, right? He's the Roman governor of the province of Judea. He's not exactly the king, but he kind of thought of himself that way. He's the one who sets the rules. He's the judge and the authority of the land. So in many ways, he was ruling over people like a king, although he wasn't. Both Josephus and Philo tell us that Pilate exercised his power for 10 years by being a brutal, arrogant ruler from AD 26 to 36. Nobody challenged his authority. And when it came to the Jews, he didn't care about them. He hated them. The Jews pretty much hated him too. As a matter of fact, there are stories about Pilate that whenever Jews irritated him, which seemed to be often, he simply put them to death. And then along comes Jesus. And it's another Jew. Along comes Jesus. And from the moment Jesus comes into Pilate's life, Pilate finds out that he's no longer the one in control. He's no longer the one dictating truth. And that's because Jesus speaks with the authority and confidence of one who is judging Pilate rather than the other way around. Starting there again in verse 33 of John chapter 18, Pilate asked Jesus if he is the king of the Jews. And Jesus does what he often does in trying to help people to think. He turns it around and asks him, "Is that your own idea or did others talk to you about it?" Going on the defensive, Pilate begins to interrogate Jesus, trying to find out why he was arrested. Jesus replies with the calm authority of a king when he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are right in saying I'm a king," he says to Pilate. "In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus' calm authority and fearlessness in the face of certain death just kind of rattles Pilate. Pilate's not used to having people talk back like that, and with calmness and authority and sincerity. And so, mockingly, in response, Pilate asks, "What is truth?" Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, it says, starting in John chapter 19, verse 1. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. A wicked display of vengeful violence attempting to control Jesus. Jesus is beaten back. He's not killed. He's beaten back. But the Jews, of course, want to kill Jesus. But they can't because it's against the law, really. The Roman occupation has made it not something that they could do. They're rallied behind by what Pilate has done, so they wanted to finish him off. And so in another attempt to show that he has control, Pilate says to Jesus in verse 10, "Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus simply looks at him and replies, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." You have to think about what Jesus has gone through and what's happening here, right? He's now beaten, bloody, and exhausted, yet Jesus is still the one in control. Jesus is still in charge of the situation. Jesus still is the one in authority. Jesus is still the truth by which all else is to be based upon. Think about it again. From the moment that Jesus came into Pilate's life, Jesus was the one in charge. And that's because Jesus is the king that he says he was. Jesus is the one truly in power. Jesus is the truth. Again, Jesus claimed to not only be a king, but he claimed to have absolute moral authority in being the truth. Again, back in verse 37, there he said, "You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." You think, wow, I mean, he is the truth. He's testifying to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus is the ultimate authority, right? Jesus is the truth. Way back in the beginning of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John testifies about Jesus starting in verse 10. There, John says that he, that's Jesus, was in the world, and through the and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." In other words, again, Jesus, full of grace and truth, came and gave us grace and truth. The truth of Jesus Christ, giving us grace by dying for our sins. You know, in all the times that the word truth appears in the New Testament, if you did a little search or looked at a concordance, you would see that there's a whole lot of it that appears in the Gospel of John. John talks a lot about the truth. And one of the reasons is because there was a group of people in the latter part of the first century who claimed to have a special knowledge of the truth. And so one of the reasons that John wrote his account of the life of Jesus was to tell everyone that the truth had already come, and the truth was already made known. But a lot of people didn't accept the truth. A lot of people chose to ignore the truth. A lot of people chose to reject the truth. Some even killed the truth. Still, the truth came. The truth was shared. And the truth lives on in every Christian who follows the truth. The truth, that is Jesus Christ. Back at our main text in John chapters 18 and 19, Pilate who Jesus said was clearly given earthly authority to judge, and even to judge whether or not Jesus should be condemned to die, was dealing with the Messiah of God. And the things that Jesus said and the way that Jesus presented himself before, both, you have to think about this, it's both before and after his flogging. I'm just amazed that he's able to stand and even speak after the flogging. Jesus implied that even Pilate himself had come under judgment. And that's something that Pilate didn't even really consider. Pilate wasn't used to letting someone else be in that position. No one else was ever allowed to be the master of his life. And again, that's the way it is for a lot of people today. You can bring the truth into someone's life, but if the truth ever contradicts with whatever it is they want to hear, or whatever it is that they feel, then the truth of Jesus Christ must be wrong. But that's because they only want to agree with the authority that they want to obey. And the only one that they want to obey is themselves. And so they choose to only agree with the truth when the truth agrees with them. Back over in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in another place, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Think about it. You know, if you want to know the way to live, if you want true peace, if you want to not be afraid of what happens after death, the truth can set you free of all that worry. The truth can give you life. You just need to believe the truth and follow him. Jesus is the one with all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. I can't be that authority. No religious leader anywhere can be that authority. You can't be that authority. No president, congressman, religious leader can give you the total 100% truth. But Jesus can. Only Jesus has the truth, because only Jesus is the truth. So what are you going to do with the truth? What are you going to do with the truth? What are you going to do with Jesus? How do you respond to the truth? Song number 926 in our songbook is called "What Will You Do with Jesus?" And here's the first verse of the chorus of the song. It says, "Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus?" What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?" If you're here this morning and you're seeking the truth, know that Jesus is the truth. And his truth can set you free. His truth can save you. Simply believe that Jesus is who he says he is. The truth, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your trust in him, turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior. And then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, hey, you're born again. You're new in Christ. So you continue then to live your life for him as a Christian until Jesus comes back again and you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already Christians, remember to live by the truth. Share the truth in love, because the truth has set you free and can set others free too. Again, if anyone has the need, come forward this morning, whether it's to share, seek prayer. prayer or to become a Christian for the first time today, you're encouraged to do that as together we all stand and sing the song that Ryan has selected.